Well, good morning. Welcome each one to Cornerstone. Glad we're got a little bit cooler weather. It's ready for a little bit cooler than what we've got, but I'm not ready for snow, but I'm ready for some cool weather. But I'm glad you could be with us today, Lord. Be with us, and I hope the Lord shows up today, and I know He will. I know the Holy Spirit's going to have His way here today. And so we're going to jump into the message. And the title of the message is Doing More for God. And just the way this message came about was unreal. I was driving to work Monday or Tuesday morning. And it was like God just dumped the whole message in my lap. So just as soon as I walked in the office, I started writing down, making notes. And kind of one thing that He revealed to me, and I never really thought a whole lot about it, honestly, but I'm 47 years old. I'm a child. I'm 47, but, you know, I got to thinking about it, and probably over half of my life's over. I mean, really. I've got more time behind me than I probably got to go. You just never know. May not make it to the end of the day. But I got to looking back and reflecting over my past. And I realized that I had not done near what I should have done for God. And then this message really spoke to my heart too when I started compiling it and getting everything together and getting everything ready. So, you know, I think we can all do more for God regardless of how old we are, how long we've been here, how short a time we've been here. I think we can all do more for God. So I'm going to look at a couple of questions today. And I've got about, I think, 10 points that, 10. Hopefully they'll be short points. But we're going to, there's a couple of questions that just came to my mind when I started getting this message together. And it's, how do we know that we're not living out God's purpose? Or how do we know that we're not doing enough for God? And then, how can we find God's purpose in our life? And how can we do more for God? So I'm going to jump in by just reading a couple of verses of Scripture out of Colossians. It's Colossians 3:15 through 17. And the Bible says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." And I want you to think about that last verse of Scripture just a little bit. Just let it sink in. "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." There's a message just in that one verse of Scripture. We should do everything that we can in our word, in our deeds, in everything that we do in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we should give thanks to God. So I'm going to just jump in and start with the first question is, how do we know that we're not living out God's purpose? Or how do we know that we're not doing enough for God? And my first point is pretty simple. You're living in sin. 1 John 3:4 says that everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. So when you're living in sin, your morals and values do not add up with God's. They don't line up at all. That's pretty simple, isn't it? If we're not doing what God wants us to do, our values, our morals, our lives are not going to line up with Him. We tend to push God away more because we want to do it our way. We want to make it our own. We want to live our own life the way we want to live it. You put away faith in worldly. You put your faith in worldly things and not in things of God. And I've been guilty of it. I'm going to tell you, this whole message spoke to me. There's been many times that I put things ahead of God. And I still catch myself doing it. And that's just a habit that this old fleshly body, that's what's going to happen. So we've got to be intentional about making sure that we're doing what God wants us to do. We're lining up with what God wants us to do. Normally, whenever we do this, we live a beat down, just a miserable life. It's just, you feel like that you're not good enough, or you feel like that you're not worth anything. Can I tell you a secret? That's coming from the enemy. He's wanting to keep you beat down. He's wanting you to live a miserable life and just not enjoy anything. You know, also whenever you're living in sin, you're living blinded to things of God. You just don't see it. I mentioned it a while ago, we're living the way we want to live and not the way God would have us to live. It's like we put on those blinders and we don't see anything else but the way we want to go. And again, that's the enemy keeping us beat down, keeping us just tore out of frame and not wanting us to focus on God. But when this happens, your heart begins to harden. And you start living and doing things that you normally wouldn't do. But your heart hardens to it and you don't see anything wrong with it. You think everything's fine. Everything's going fine. Everything's good. And then we start justifying the way that we're living in that sin. We start justifying the sin. We say to ourselves, well, you know, it's just little. It's nothing major. It's not going to hurt anything. Nobody knows about it. It's not going to hurt anything. I can stop it at any time. That's no problem. And then you start justifying by what the enemy's telling you. He's telling you, oh, it's okay to do whatever you want to do. Do this or do that. Just look, everybody else is doing it. Why should you be any different? It's got to be okay. There's other Christians out there living the way you're wanting to live. Just do it. It's okay. And then, I've been guilty of this. We start comparing our sin to other people. Well, you know, I'm not doing nowhere near what they're doing, or I'm not living near as bad as she is or he is, so I've got to be okay. That's a dangerous road to go down. When you start trying to justify the way you're living compared to somebody else, we're all sinners. Not only do we live in sin, my next point is that you have no hope or no joy in your life. Romans 15:13 says that, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. I mentioned it a little bit before, but you live a life full of hopelessness. You feel like there's no hope. Your life's full of trouble. A lot of times we don't see a way out of it. A lot of times we just say, okay, I guess this is just the way it's supposed to be. That happens whenever we place our hope in things of this world. Not only do we not have any hope, we'd have no joy in our life. It's tough to go through life with no joy. It's tough to go through life with no happiness. But a lot of times, we live that beat down life and we're miserable. We have no happiness. And all that leads right back around to that hopelessness. We have no happiness, we have no joy, so we're hopeless. Our life is full of pain and sorrow. And that's when we start looking for other ways to deal with that pain. We want just a little bit of relief from that hopelessness, that pain. So we look to places like drugs or alcohol or relationships or whatever it may be. You can fill in the blank. There's endless things you can put there. You start looking for your joy in all the wrong places when we should just be seeking God. You're looking for just that little bit of relief, that little moment that you can get just a little bit of relief from not having that joy. But normally whenever you do that, your joy's still not there. And then you have all kinds of other problems to go along with it. So then it just starts adding up and it just starts building up. And that little bit of hope that you might have had is gone. We're seeking that little bit of hope in a hopeless and a doomed world. We don't have hope. We don't have joy. We're stuck and we have no direction. That's my next point. James 1:5 says that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. We have no direction. We just start wandering around and we get stuck in a routine a lot of times. And you think, well, I guess this is just my life. You know, we do the same thing over and over again. We fall into the same traps over and over again. We seek what we cannot have in this world. We try to make our own way. And that way leads down a road to destruction. It leads to a life of destruction. We get stuck in that routine. And we wind up going through life with no help. We're trying to fill all those voids with everything we want. Everything we want to just a little bit of hope, just a little bit of help, just a little bit of anything, just to take that pain away. But you know, without God, we have no direction. We start wandering through the world and we're lost and we have no idea where we're heading. And God gave me a picture of this that it's like going on a trip. We're getting ready to take off and go to wherever. Somewhere you've never been. And you have no map. You have no phone. Everybody uses their phone now. You have no phone. You have no GPS. You have nothing. You just take off. You just take off in one direction. Are you heading in the right direction? Probably not. You may know the general direction to go, but you're trying to get to a little town thousands of miles away from here. You're probably going to miss the mark. You're probably going to miss where you're supposed to be. But then you know what happens? We get lost. Do we ask for directions? No. That pride comes into play. you're like, you know what? I know I'm not exactly where I need to be, but I think I can find my way. I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to ask for directions. I'm not going to ask God to help me. So we just continue just wandering around, blind and hopeless. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, if we get lost, we don't ask for direction. We just go our own way. We go through life blinded to things of God. And when the enemy blinds us, we're just wandering around again. Just no purpose in life. No, just we're just existing. That's what the enemy wants. He wants us to wander around. He wants us to have no purpose. He wants us to look for our own way. So we get on the right path and we're heading the way we're supposed to go. We're heading straight down the road that we're supposed to go and we're following God. Well, then what happens? The enemy will throw a detour up over here and we'll be like, oh, that looks pretty good. I'm going over here. And then we're like, no, we've got to go this way. So then we get straight, and then all of a sudden you'll see something over here that you like, and I'm just going to go this way. I'll get back on the path sometime. It's good. What do? We get further and further away from God. When we need to focus totally on God, we need to set our sights on Him, and we need to follow Him regardless. You feel like that there's something missing in your life. That's my next point. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You feel like something's missing in your life, because it is. And that something is God. A lot of times we feel like that we're running on empty, because we are. We're running on empty because we're not allowing God to fill our life with His happiness, with His joy. We're running on empty because we're trying to fill those voids with our own things, with other things. You feel like that you're running on empty because you are. You also feel a disconnect with God. Ask you a question this morning. You know about God, but do you really know God? Satan knows about God. He believes in God. So you know about God, but do you really know Him? Take a look at your life, and if you don't really know Him, you can. Maybe you've not made God a priority in your life. Maybe you've never asked God for connections in your life. Maybe you've never allowed God into your life. We're trying to fill that void a lot of times with things that only Jesus can fill. The Holy Spirit calls you, but you just don't listen, or you ignore that call, or whatever, you just turn away from it. Maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. If you've never accepted Him as your Savior, that would probably be your a great first step to do. You feel disconnected, and you also invest in earthly things and not heavenly things. Colossians 3:2 says to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. You invest your time in worldly things. Guilty. You spend time doing things that you want to do and not what God would have you to do. You have big plans, or at least I do. Every day I sit there and I say, I'm going to spend more time with God today. And then something will come up. Those detours will come up. And you're got your mind right. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, let me go over here and do this. I'll take care of this and I'll be done and I'll be right back at it. It's easy to do what we want to do. Sometimes it's hard to do what God wants us to do. It's easy for us to do our own thing instead of what God would command us to do. It's easy to spend time doing things for ourselves. Sometimes it's hard to spend that time with helping the church or doing something for the church or doing something that you don't really want to do. You may feel that tug that God's saying, you need to do this. But you're like, you know what? I could mow my yard today go ahead and get that done and I'll have that done and have the rest of the weekend for myself. Or whatever it may be. We invest our time in our own life. We also invest our talents on doing things for our own gain and not for things of God. Instead of using our talents to help others, we do our own thing. We don't allow God to use our talents for Him. We just want to do what we want to do. A lot of times we buy things that want to make us feel better. We choose to buy earthly things to fill those voids in our life. And what happens to those? There's something there and you're like, you know what, if I just had that, I would feel better. I would love to have that. Whatever it may be. But then you get it and you're like, you know what, it's just not as good as I thought it was going to be. But if I could get this, I know it'll be good. And then you get it and you're like, eh, no. That's not filling me. So I'm going to go over here and I'm going to get this. I know this will. Those voids are still there. A lot of times you see people that's trying to buy their way into heaven. Well, if I do this, if I do good, if I do this, if I make this, whatever it may be, I think I can get there that way. There's not but one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And it's a gift that the only thing you have to do is accept it. All you have to do is accept it, and God will give it to you. So we've looked at the bad things, I guess. Let's try to look at some good things now. Let's see if we can make ourselves feel a little bit better this morning. So we've seen how not to do, how we know that we're not living for God. Let's look at how we can live for God, how we can do more for God. A lot of these are very simple. You just have to be intentional. That seems to be my new famous favorite word, is being intentional. First thing we have to do is we have to pray. Simple four-letter word is pray. 1 John 3:22 says that, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. You know, when we pray, we need to ask God to show us what His will is for our life. If you ask Him, He'll show you. He wants you to be in His will. He wants you to do things for Him. All you have to do is ask. The only ability you have to have is availability. All you have to do is make yourself available. Seek guidance from God. When you're praying, just ask Him to guide your thoughts. Ask Him to show you where you've done wrong, where you've been wrong. Ask God to help you correct those wrongs. And then mostly pray for repentance. A lot of times you hear people say, well, you know, I know I'm a sinner, but I don't really know what I've done. I don't really know what sins I've committed. If you think about it, you can figure it out pretty easy. But if you ask God to reveal those sins to you, you don't have to figure it out. He'll show them to you. Ask Him to reveal them to you. Ask Him to show you. And when He shows you, repent from those sins. But not only that, ask God to help you to not continue to commit those sins. Ask Him for help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Not only do we pray, we have to read our Bible. Psalm 119:105 says that Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. God's word will light our paths if we only allow it to. Spend time daily in God's word. Set aside time daily to spend reading the Bible. Don't let distractions keep you from reading. Be intentional. That word again. Be intentional about it. Make an effort to be intentional about reading your Bible. But be careful. Don't just make it a thing that you do. So many times, and I've been guilty of this. I'm telling on myself a lot today. So many times, you know, you'll take a list, and especially the first of the year, you'll have a Bible reading list that I'm going to read the whole Bible the whole year. I'm going to read through the whole Bible. And the first week or two, you do good. But you're just making it a checkbox that you check off. Okay, I've read this chapter. I'm good. Check off. Don't just make it something that you're doing. Make it a time to seek God's word. Make it a time to study His word. Make it a time to spend quality time with God, not just making it a box that you check off and, okay, I'm done for today, so we'll pick back up tomorrow. get in some different studies. Use resources. There's resources everywhere. There's online resources. Just be careful that you don't go down those destructive roads if you're online. But do a word study. There's so many things that you can do now with Bible study. Just seek that quality time with God. Allow God to reveal to you through His Word. Ask God to reveal what He wants you to learn. He'll show you. He'll direct you. Seek clarity when you read the Bible. A lot of things are confusing in the Bible. But if you ask for clarity, He'll give it to you. There's things I don't understand. There's things that we're not supposed to understand. Ask God to help you stay the course. Even when you don't feel like reading and studying, make that time. Be intentional about it. Next point is find your strengths and use those strengths. Use them. Psalm 29:11 says that may the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. Find out what your strengths are. Ask God to show you what your strengths are. Ask God to help you to use your strengths for Him. Use your known strengths to help God, to do things for Him. Help others to find their strengths and help them to serve God also. Don't be afraid to try new things. Ask God to reveal areas that you may not be comfortable with and step out in faith and try those things. I'm not comfortable in this setting. This is not me. This has never been me. But when God called me, it was one of those things. I was scared to death. I'm still scared to death. But I find peace with when I seek Him. So step out in faith, and you know what? If you fail, don't give up. Just start over and keep pushing forward for God. A lot of times we all fall short. We all fail at certain times. And a lot of times those failures, the enemy will use that to try to discourage you and to turn you away from God. Tell and say, I've read the end of the book. I know what your destiny is. Leave me alone. Let me do my own thing. Let me do my thing for God. You just go on. Leave me alone. Don't be afraid to start over if you fail. And don't be afraid to keep pushing forward for Him. Use your strengths to help others. Like I mentioned, help others find their strengths and use your strengths to help others in areas that they may be weak in. And don't be afraid to let others know in areas that you're weak in. Don't be afraid to say, that's one of my weak points. I can't do it. Or I'm going to need some help in this area. Don't be afraid. Spend time with other believers. That's my next point. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Find friends that are Christians. This one's tough sometimes. Sometimes we may have to let some of our old friends go in order to live that life that God's calling us to live. That's tough. That's tough sometimes to walk away from somebody. But sometimes we have to. Start a Bible study with other believers. You'd be surprised how much knowledge you can gain from other believers and just doing simple scripture studies, and you bounce ideas off of each other. I think back to our men's Bible study we done during COVID. We had some great discussion. We had some really good discussion, and you know, we didn't always agree with everything, but we agreed to disagree. And that's okay. God might reveal something to me that He don't reveal to somebody else, or He may reveal something to somebody else that He don't reveal to me. That's how we learn. Find other believers that have the similar interests that you do and spend time with them. Find good activities to get involved with. Get involved in other Christian ministries. Start some kind of activity. If you feel God calling you to do something, start some kind of activity. Start some kind of ministry. Just be aware of what God's calling you to do, or what God may be leading you to do. There's a lot of ministries here that you can get involved in. But also be aware of activities that you may be participating in that you shouldn't be. Because again, the enemy will throw those things up there and it looks very appealing. And you're like, okay, I'm going to go try this. And leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Spend time with your church family. Come to church. That's easy enough, right? Participate in the extra activities that's offered here. We have table gatherings. We have outreach events. We have all kinds of things that you can get involved in. Spend time away from church with your church family. Get involved. Get together and go do activities that you want to do. And then my final point is spend quiet time with God. Psalm 62, 5 and 6 says, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken." Find somewhere that you can get along with God. It may be at home. It may be away from home. It may be somewhere in nature. But just find somewhere where you can get along with God and seek that quiet time. Spend that quiet time with God, and again, don't let distractions get in the way. You would be surprised at what God will reveal to you in those times when you're just alone with Him. It's just you and Him. If you journal, take a journal with you and write down what He tells you. If you don't journal, take a journal with you and write down what He tells you. I'm not a journal person, but it's amazing if you write, just take 5 minutes to write down what He reveals to you and then look back over it. But allow God to work in you during those quiet times. Seek His guidance in how to spend time with Him. Ask God to reveal your shortcomings again. but mostly find that peace that is beyond all understanding when you're spending that time with Him. That peace is something that you can't describe. You've got to live it. You've got to feel it. But it's something that only God can give us. It can only come from God. So I'm going to recap real quick. How do we know that we're not living out God's purpose? We're living in sin. We have no hope, or we have no joy. We're stuck and we have no direction. We feel like something is missing, because it is. And then we invest in earthly things and not heavenly things. And how can we do more for God? We can pray. We can read our Bible. Find our strengths and use them. Spend time with other believers. But spend time, that quiet time with God. So I ask you today, as I get ready to close, is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Is He revealing something that you need to get taken care of today? You're going to have an opportunity here in just a minute that you can lay it all on this altar. But I tell you, when you leave it, leave it. Lay it down and walk out the door without it. In everything, trust God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Think about that scripture just a minute. Just take a minute or two and just dwell on that scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on our own understanding. Like I said earlier, our own understanding will take us down paths that we don't want to go down. It tells us right there to make straight our paths. Don't go down the little rabbit trails. Stay straight. And just keep on keeping on for God. Let's pray.